The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. It's hard to believe that this is the last Monday in May. Where did it go? I mean, I can't believe it. Time is going by so fast. Anyway, welcome, everybody. I want to welcome you to Women's Spaces. This morning, I have three special guests with me. Joining me in the studio are J.D. Donovan, president of the Sonoma County Pride, and then their volunteer coordinator, Bonnie Bryan. And we're going to be talking about the up-and-coming Sonoma County Pride Parade, which is going to be happening this weekend. Also joining me on the phone all the way from New York will be Dr. Harriet Fraud. Dr. Fraud is a mental health counselor and psychotherapist in practice in New York City. She is a well-published author, writes about the pressures of families and the economics of the United States. And another thing about Dr. Fraud, she is actually on KBBF, last Monday of the month at 11 o'clock, on Tuesday at 11 o'clock, on the economic, update with Dr. Richard Wolf. Today is Memorial Day, or what they call Decoration Day. It's a federal holiday, so everybody's off, right? Everybody's running to the, you know, to the malls to get all those special sales. But you know, Memorial Day is a very special day. It's a day that we remember the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. The holiday, which is currently observed every year on the last Monday of May, which is today, May 28, 2018. And today is Memorial Day, and I want to send out my heartfelt condolences to folks out there who lost family in these awful wars that have occurred over the past over 100 years. I found a very interesting article in the Press Democrat this morning that I thought would needed a little bit of attention. It was kind of shocking to me. It states, Arlington Cemetery is running out of room. You know, since they're running out of room and they have 420,000 folks, listen to that, 420,000 young people that are buried there who had lost their lives during war, since they're running out of room, I think it's about time we brought an end to war. Wouldn't that be interesting, right? Well, it's a lot to think about and a lot to, you know, kind of mull over. I mean, when you think about war, I mean, what's it all about? You know, all wars are fought in the name of peace. Well, how come we don't have peace? So here on this Memorial Day, let's send a special prayer out that maybe we're going to become, human beings are going to become intelligent enough to figure out a way to end this disastrous activity. That's how I look at it, disastrous. Anyway, another thing that's coming up this weekend, which is really close to my heart, is the Andes Unity Park Memorial. They're going to be dedicating the park to this young man. You know, it's so hard to believe that it's 5 years, almost 5 years, since that young boy was killed, and we're finally getting a park there in Moreland for the folks there. So mark your calendars. Andy's Unity Park dedication community celebration will be happening this weekend, June 2nd, and including in this amazing event will be a gathering and acknowledgement. And this is so important, the acknowledgement of the Justice Coalition for Andy Lopez. The pressure and the momentum that went on to not only try to get this young boy justice for this horrendous killing, but also to get that park going. And it's going to happen. And I got to tell you something, it is beautiful. A shout out to the county for finally doing something, the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors for hanging in there and for actually making sure that that park happened. And what the park means to me, it's a reminder of that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. When I got involved with the Andy Lopez killing, my main goal was to make sure that this young boy's death was not in vain, that something good from the community was going to come out of it. And little by little, it's happening. And right now, the park's going to be dedicated on June 2nd, and it's just, I mean, I cannot believe how beautiful it is. And they're encouraging people to be there at 1 o'clock sharp, because that's when the dedication is going to be starting. And they're going to have a memorial wall. I can't believe it. And just for your folks' information, I can't believe it, but my picture is going to be in the memorial wall, which is, to me, is such an honor. At the same time, I had more heartbreaking moments during this experience than I've had in my whole lifetime. And my prayer is that all the work that we've done, the task force and all the different situations that have arisen because of the death of this young man, I hope in my heart of hearts that we never, and I mean that all capital letters, we never see that happen in our community again. I mean, 13 years old. I mean, you barely, I mean, what is 13 years old? I mean, I remember when I was 13, I didn't even know what time it was half the time. So it's very, very important that we folks, all the folks in the community show up, greet the family. The family's going to be there. They're going to do many, many presentations, but above all, to come and see that beautiful, beautiful memorial. And the park is located on Westmoreland Avenue in Santa Rosa. Well, you know, I have another announcement to make that's really something that's really fun that I think is going to be happening, and that's going to be at the Forestville Youth Park. They're going to be having a barbecue that's going to end up on next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 2nd and 3rd. I mean, I can't believe that this weekend is going to be as packed as it is. It's going to be a carnival and a parade, and it's going to be out in Forestville. And as you know, KBBF, we go out to 18 communities and all through Sonoma County, every city in Sonoma County can hear this station. So this is a very important weekend, and I hope people take advantage of it. Well, where's Ken? Ken, we're about to take a musical break, my friend, and the song I'm going to be playing, and this is in honor of Memorial Day, in honor of my feelings, what I'm feeling about this particular day. You know, I had two uncles, my uncle Nathan Dorfman and my uncle Robert Dorfman, who both served in World War II, and my uncle Nathan was very, very affected by it. In fact, there were times that all of a sudden he would go into have these blackouts and just start screaming as if nobody could understand. And my grandmother would say, it's the war, it's the war. And at that time, we didn't understand about PTSD. You know, we called it shell shock or just different words. But families had to take care of these young people, especially the ones who saw action. And I know my Uncle Nathan definitely saw action and was very disturbed by it. And one day we were having a conversation, and I called him Nunny. He was Uncle Nunny, Nathan Nunny. I said, Uncle Nunny, tell me a little bit about your experience at war. You know, what would you like to tell me? And I'll never forget it. He looked me straight in the eye, and he said, Elaine, any man who's been on the battlefield will never send his son. I never forgot those words. I never forgot those words. And then he continued on. He says, I hope that this is our last war. But it wasn't. You know, look what's going on today. Today, there's more wars and more conflict than we've ever had. And more people are losing their lives because of it. So I want to dedicate this song to all the veterans who served so gallantly. You know, most young people, they believe when they go to war, they believe what they're doing. They believe they're going for their country, and especially the United States, which is so interesting. When we go to war, it's to protect our freedoms, to protect our rights, particularly our First Amendment right, which is the right to free speech. You know, and look what happens when people go out and protest. What happens? You have the SWAT team coming out in full gala with their guns at these protesters who are only exercising their First Amendment rights. So there's a lot to think about. So we're going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing is No More Wars, sung by a woman by the name of Jacqueline Sharp. And when we return, I will be talking with J.D. Donovan, president of the Sonoma County Pride, and their volunteer coordinator, Bonnie Bryan, and we will be talking about the upcoming Sonoma County Pride events, which are going to be happening this weekend, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. 3rd. So there's going to be 3 days of celebration. So here we go. No More War, sung by Jacqueline Sharp.
No more war, war never again. No more war, war never again. When Pope Paul came across the sea, he brought this message for you and me. No more war.
I love that. Let the weapons fall from your hands. Oh, what a song. Anyway, for you folks just joining us, you're listening to KPBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KPBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And one of the things, we're going to do things a little bit different today. Before I introduce my guests, you know, this is the last Monday of the month, so we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And in the studio, I have with me J.D. Donovan, president of the Sonoma County Pride, and their volunteer coordinator, Bonnie Bryan, and they're going to join me in the pledge. So, you know, the pledge is very interesting. I want to tell folks a little bit of history about the pledge. I actually wrote it for my grandson. He was about 7 years old, and he came out of his daycare center, and he said that his daycare teacher told him that he was a bad boy, and he was crying. And I said, wait a minute, you're a bad boy? What did you do? And he took a book from some kid or did something silly. And I says, Ryan, your self-esteem doesn't depend on what that teacher thinks of you. And I made up this little saying for him. And every time I picked him up, every time I dropped him off, we would say the pledge together. And it's so interesting that when he graduated Santa Cruz College here in Santa Cruz, he actually came down the hill and said the pledge for me. And now my baby, that's what I call him, he is now going to be 30 years old, and he's going to be a father himself. And the pledge just tends to live on and on. So let's do the pledge together. You know, if you guys are driving in a car, just relax. Don't close your eyes. You know, if you're at home, you know, find yourself a nice comfortable chair and just repeat after me. I'm going to say it one time, and then you say what I say after, and then I'll say the whole thing by itself. And then when I say the whole thing by itself, just try to observe the world. Try to pull them into your side because it's very important. Self-esteem, I think, good, high, strong self-esteem is the power behind good activism. So let's go with the Women's Spaces Pledge. First line, my self-esteem does not depend.
My self-esteem does not depend
on anything.
On anything.
Outside of me.
Outside of me.
My self-esteem depends.
My self-esteem depends.
On my relationship.
On my relationship.
With myself.
With myself.
And my higher power.
And my higher power.
Oh, I just love that. How does everybody feel? Doesn't that kind of lift your energy? My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. And let me just go over higher power just a little bit. Whatever your belief system is, some people believe in Muhammad, some people believe in Jesus. I believe in a great spirit, a higher power. You know, however your belief that gives you that sense of believing inside of yourself, that's what you can replace. So I'm going to say this one more time. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Whew, it just gives me the chills. Well, welcome back again, and welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces. I want to reintroduce you. I have with me in the studio, I have J.D. Donovan. Good morning, J.D. Welcome morning. To Women's Spaces, and also Bonnie Bryan. Welcome. And they are here on short notice. I want to thank you. I just met Bonnie. I think we just met last weekend.
Last Wednesday.
And I said, my God, they're having a pride parade, and you haven't been on Women's Spaces, and here they are. So welcome, ladies. So let's start out a little bit. Tell us a little bit. Why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, JD, your background, anything you feel is important.
Well, I've been participating with Sonoma County Pride since 2009 when I moved to Guerneville. And I've kind of been involved one way or another. And the past 4 years, we turned into a 501c3 and we've grown the event. And this year, we're bringing it to Santa Rosa to be in the heart of Sonoma County. So.
Why do you think it's grown? It's growing so rapidly.
Well, Sonoma County is actually the second largest population of LGBT people. So naturally, as we grow and we continue to accept ourselves and come out of our shells and be accepted in the norm, in the mainstream, then we're going to celebrate that. And that's part of our theme this year as well, Together We Rise. And I think it's all part of not only is the LGBT community rising and taking their power, but it's also Together We Rise because of everything we've gone through in Sonoma County in this past year. So we wanted to say we're part of the community and we accept and we love our community, everybody, not just the LGBT community, but everybody. We rise as a group.
Well, I'm really glad we got to do the pledge because to me, as far as I'm concerned, that's where it's at. You know, we are human beings and our self-esteem doesn't depend whether I satisfy you. It's more important that I satisfy myself and move out to the world. How about you, Bonnie? How did you get involved? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I originally came from the East Coast and in 2003, I came out to San Francisco and transitioned from male to female. And after that, I got involved with the Pride events down in San Francisco. When I moved up here, I started to get involved in the community through my previous employer and other opportunities. And last year, after just being a standard volunteer for Sonoma County Pride, I was asked to sit on the board and become their volunteer coordinator.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Pride. What is like the? I know you have a theme this year. Tell us a little bit more about the theme and why that's so important. Together We Rise.
Well, like I said before, Together We Rise as a community because of the political climate that we're in. We still have to fight for our rights, but we're also part of Sonoma County, and Sonoma County has gone through so much. So we're honoring our first responders to the October fires. So they're going to be our grand marshals this year, and that's our theme, is our local heroes that have saved our community, and together we all support each other. And so we're going to have a great contingent with the firefighters, the police, the bus drivers that were driving people, the pet rescue, everybody that was involved in saving and coming together to help us rise from the ashes. They're going to be honored as our grand marshals. So we're going to have a moment of silence. It's going to be a really beautiful thing.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so important that we acknowledge one another. You know, community is so important. Without our community, I know without our neighbors, I mean, for us, the first people, the responders were the knock on the door, and then the next thing we knew, you know, it was just such a horrendous experience. It really put me in a new place. So that's a great way to acknowledge, put people out there and saying, these are the ones who helped us. So thank you for doing that. It's really, really interesting. Well, you know, this is I know for myself right now, I'm involved with on June 16th, we're going to be doing the Juneteenth Festival, which is a celebration that African Americans do every year, celebrating their freedom, that certain groups did not hear about their freedom until a year afterwards. So I know how much work it takes. Give us some of your challenges that you faced the last few years doing this action.
I think one of the biggest challenges is getting volunteers to come out and help, and that's where Bonnie is such a great part of stepping up as the volunteer coordinator, because she was our best volunteer.
But it takes a volunteer to get volunteers.
Exactly. And I think also it's keeping it relevant and keeping it so that we've been going for 31 years. We want it to go for another 31 years. But I don't know if I'm going to have the energy in 31 years from now to be putting this on. So we need to make sure that it's relevant and we get the younger generation. And we're having a kids zone this year, and we're targeting all the families and everybody, you know, the whole accepting community. We want to get people involved in the event so that we can continue to grow it and make sure that it happens year after year.
But also, I love the idea of having a kids event and exposing young people to what is, because then they have a greater understanding. They don't let some of the biases that come through around the community, you know, impact them. Well, you know, Bonnie, let's ask you this little question. So it sounds like you've been a real strong volunteer, and now you're the volunteer coordinator. Why is it important for you to volunteer? What do you get out of it?
Well, it's important to volunteer because these events don't happen without the volunteers. It takes good, energetic, excited volunteers to put on any type of large event like this. And, you know, without that, without getting involved, then we just sit back and we're not really part of the community.
Yeah, you're just there observing rather than participating, I mean, it's amazing when you become part of something how much more it means to you. It really does.
And also, it can make the events a lot more fun because you're meeting other, you know, excited and engaged volunteers who are out there part of the community and hopefully creating long-term friendships through that. I mean, I don't think I would have met any of the other board members or the other volunteers last year had I not been part of the Pride celebration as a volunteer.
And I started as a volunteer, and here I am, the president now. So you never know what it's going to turn into.
Well, you know, I'm president of the National Organization of Women, and that's exactly what happened. I just joined to help. Next thing you know,
right?
There's so much action. Well, you know, I need to ask this question, you know, so the folks out there know that everybody is welcome. Now, when you're looking for volunteers, do they have to be part of your community, the LGBT community, or can they be just anybody in Sonoma County that wants to help?
No, they can be anybody in Sonoma County who wants to help. We're looking for people that are members of the community, allies, friends, family, supporters. If you just want something to do, if you're looking for a free T-shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
You
know,
we feed you, too.
Yeah, we'll feed you, too. We actually have the wonderful support of Starbucks this year. They're providing all of our beverages and snacks for our volunteers. You know, we're hopefully building an after party, which most of these events have, a thank you for our volunteers, which will be volunteer only. And so there's a lot of exciting things around volunteering. So we're looking for a bit of everybody, anybody who wants to help out, anybody who wants to bring great energy to our Pride celebrations is welcome to volunteer.
Can you just name one or two, maybe three areas that you need volunteers?
So we're looking for volunteers to help out with the parade route. That's a big one. We need monitors to monitor the barricades, make sure people don't try and jump over them, make sure people aren't throwing things from the crowd at the floats or throwing things from the floats like little tchotchkes and gifts into the crowds, because that can create a little bit of chaos. Somebody runs out in front of a float. you know, we don't want that kind of thing. So we're looking for monitors to, you know, all along the parade route. We're looking for just general logistics volunteers. We're looking for bartenders, bar backs. We're looking for people to sell the drink tickets, because all the drinks and beverages will be by tickets. So we need a large staff there. We're looking for security as well, some people who can just maintain the grounds.
Well, how can they get a hold of you? I mean, if they want to volunteer, how can they contact you?
So they can contact us through SonomaCountyPride.org, and under the participate section, it'll drop down menu, and there's a volunteer that'll bring you to a page where all of the positions that are currently available, you can click on a position, fill out a little bit of information like your name, email address, phone number, so that we can contact you. And you can read the job descriptions there of each position and just sign up for the ones that excite you the most.
So give your website one more time.
So our website again is www.sonomacountypride.org. And under the participate section, on the top navigation bar, it'll drop down a menu, and under that it'll say volunteer, and that'll bring you directly to our sign-up page.
And just to let folks know, we will also have it listed on www.womenspaces.com. Go ahead, JD.
And just to also, anybody that is a professional bartender and wants to come out, you get to keep your tips, and there's going to be a lot of tips going on because we're expecting a lot of people.
So you definitely need a bartender.
Yes, we need bartenders, and then also the entertainment area, because we have a couple of headliners. We have Jason and Zayna coming out from Chicago, and then we have Rabel is going to be our headliner going on stage, and so we need people to help us with the entertainment as well. And I just want to throw out there real quick the Grayton Resort and Casino is our sponsor for all of our entertainment. That's why we're able to have such a great headliner this year.
Shout out to that dear man, Greg Ferris.
Greg Ferris
love him. Greg Ferris. I'm sorry. Ferris is on a radio station. Ferris. I just love him.
They've been so helpful to us. They've really, really helped Sonoma County Pride succeed over the years.
Oh, yeah. Special shout out to him.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you know, we have some really wonderful community people that are kind of always behind the scenes, and I just love whenever I can give Greg a shout out, I just love to.
Yeah.
Well, fellow ladies, we're coming to the end of our session here, the end of our segment. Anything else, any last words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just come out and enjoy and have a lot of fun. This is going to be a really fun. Everybody's welcome. It's right downtown on the square. The festival is starting at noon, but the parade starts at noon as well, and it ends at the festival grounds. And we're going to have DJs, we're going to have music, the kids zone, we're going to have a timeline showing the LGBT history in Sonoma County. There's all sorts of wonderful stuff that we have going on this year, and we're looking forward to growing the event.
Well, I want my listeners to know that Ken and I will definitely be there in the crowd. And if you see us, you know, we're happy to give you one of our pledge cards and say hello. Well, I want to thank you so much, J.D. Donovan, our president of the Pride Parade, and also for Bonnie Bryan for coming in. Thank you so much. And I want to wish you much, much success with your parade. And I feel you just want to say one more thing.
I just wanted to say thank you for having us this morning.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming down and coming down to the studio. It is really appreciated.
Absolutely.
And that, remember, folks, that's going to be, the parade is going to be happening this weekend, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's 3 days.
The festival is the 2nd on Saturday.
Oh, the 2nd is, I see. So the parade, they're going to have other.
Correct. We have the Laugh Cellar on Friday night. We have Alec Mappas coming out to the Laugh Cellar. And then on Sunday, we have the Outfest Film Festival. And we just are encouraging everybody to go and shop and explore downtown Santa Rosa as well.
Oh, how exciting. Well, thank you. Well, folks, lots going on in Sonoma County, that's for sure. Well, we're going to take another musical break, and I'm just so excited about some of the wonderful things that go on in our county. You know, we have to give thanks every once in a while for the openness and the understanding. I mean, here we have the weekend with the celebrating the Andy Lopez situation, celebrating our LGBT community. I mean, how much better can it get? I mean, think about it. It just can't get much better. The next step, if we just imagine what it would be like if we had total peace on earth. Oh, my God, it would would be wonderful. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I will be playing is We Are the Women, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Chorus. When I return, I will be talking to Dr. Harriet Fraud, who is a mental health counselor and hypnotherapist in practice in New York City, and we're going to talk of all things about Stormy Daniels. I'm really excited because Dr. Fraud has some very interesting perspective to share with us. So here we go. We Are the Women, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Chorus.
We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow. Women who act, women who pray, women whose wisdom will light the way. We are the women giving birth to tomorrow. We are the women who are present today. We are the women who know hope and sorrow.
I love that. Women whose wisdom will light the way. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce one of those women who light the way, Dr. Harriet Fraud. Welcome, Dr. Fraud. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
I'm so glad to be back.
Oh, you know, as you know, is that you have allowed me to call you Harriet, so I really feel
yes.
honored by that.
Indeed.
But you know, Harriet, one of the things, I have a little bio about you here, but you know what, I thought we'd do something a little bit different. You know, I just tell folks that you are a psychotherapist and hypnotherapist in private practice in New York City, and also to remind folks that you're also on the air here first Tuesday of the month on KBBF on Dr. Richard Wolff's show. Tell us a little bit more about you. How would you like folks to know about you?
Well, I'd like to know that I am a founding mother of the Women's Liberation Movement in 1968. I would also like them to know that I know that the problem is gender. It's not just women. It's men being emotionally starved and pushed into macho, unfeeling roles. It's both of us being divided from one another, and that we need each other to change for a more humane America. I'd really like them to know that, The show I'm on, by the way, is Economic Update that I'm regularly on. And I also am starting a podcast this week called Interpersonal Update. And I also have a website, harrietfraud.com. So whatever, that's something to know. The end.
No, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I mean, when you introduce a person, you know, and here you have this new podcast coming up, and of course you're being on with the Economic Update as a regular guest. By the way, that's where I first heard this interview that I called you about to say, oh my God, Harriet, we have to do this interview talking about Stormy Daniels and what impact she's having not only on the country, but on the whole feminist and the whole women's movement. So talk about how did she ever become an American folk hero? What happened allowing a porn star, which I don't, you know, that's her. You know, one of the things that I want to just say to my listening audience, we all have choice. We can choose. As long as we're not doing any harm to anybody else, why, you know, you can choose whatever you want. And so she's chosen this direction. But tell me, how did this porn star become a hero to feminists and other Americans?
Well, I think what she did is, in the first place, she exposed that men who use women for sex and see them as commodities to acquire sexually, like our president, our pussy grabber in chief, those men don't hold the shame. They give it to women who've held the shame for their behavior. And she says, I am not ashamed. I am a porn star, and I'm proud of it. That I was a waitress at $2.14 an hour. Everybody kept trying to feel me up. And I figured, forget this. Go into the sex trades and make a living. And she says, I'm not ashamed, just like Me Too. And just like Time's Up, she's saying, I'm not ashamed of being a woman and men's sexual predations and men's reducing me to a sex object. That's their shame, not mine. I'm a human being. I'm smart. And I'm out there. And so she's really calling the lie to that whole disgraceful attitude of sexually using women and then deciding that they're the ones to get society's shame for being used.
It's almost like the victim is the bad guy.
Yes, of course. She's holding the shame for men's behavior. No. And just like Me Too, where women were shamed and quieted for all that time, no. Women are saying, no, I found my voice. I no longer feel the shame. I project it where it belongs, and I am empowered. Well, you know, when Emma Gonzalez in the gun movement, after all those people were killed in Florida, she said, people ask me where I got my courage to speak out like I do and call the president's condolences BS since he got $30 million from the NRA. Where I got it was the head of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance at my school, because we needed to speak out for ourselves, and that was my practicum, and I was glad.
Well, you know, back to Stormy Daniels, I've been thinking an awful lot about her, especially since we were going to do this interview, and I can't quite... wrap myself around what exactly she represents. I mean, what is so powerful about this coming out the way she's coming out, and how do our women in general responding to all this from your experience?
Well, I think women are responding feeling empowered, because she's saying, I will not abide by a silencing agreement. Do not disclose the president's behavior. I will announce it. I am not ashamed of my behavior, because he cheated on his wife and had sex without emotion. I'm not ashamed. I'm a porn star. That's my job.
It's just amazing. I mean, I think she's speaking out for lots of women, because...
Oh, she sure is. All the Me Too. All right. The Time's Up.
And the idea of shame, you know, it's almost like we're the bad guys if all of a sudden somebody says, comes up to us, wants to do something, etc., and we say no. It's like, oh my goodness, who do you think you are? I mean, and now we're saying no to hiding all these things that are
happening.
That's
right. Or if somebody grabs us, we feel used. we have been used and abused and treated like commodities in a capitalist society. I'll get one. I'll grab a piece. But we're not going to be ashamed of that. We're going to be outraged, like Stormy.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you just brought back a memory for me. You know, one time in my life, in my past life, I was a cocktail waitress, and I'll never forget this. The doorman came to me and handed me a $20 bill, and I said, "What's that for?" He said, "Well, the man just left and said, tell her I think she has the most beautiful legs in the world." And I thought to myself, wow, I got such an uncomfortable feeling, like I would get money because I had beautiful legs. It was like an unnerving feeling. And
yeah,
I think
because he was judging you on what he saw as a sexual attribute, and most women feel ashamed and embarrassed being sexually objectified that way, even though we're not doing the objectifying. And we've stayed with that shame, fallen women and so on, women who were domestic servants who were raped by the people who were in charge in the household, the man of the house, were then cast out on the street in their pregnancy as fallen women.
When
they were economically and often physically coerced as well.
Well, that's over. How in today's atmosphere with women like Stormy Daniels and all the women that came out against Bill Cosby and all the different Harvey Weinstein now is facing jail because of rape, you know, how is that helping other women? How in the empowerment movement, how is that adding or subtracting?
Well, I think what it's doing is saying, don't let sexual harassment at the workplace shame you into quietly quitting. A woman named Gina Petra at Walmart spoke out with the Time's Up movement, with Susan Sarandon and the Women's Law Center, which gave her the money to get a lawyer. She felt so ashamed and so sullied that she left her job at Walmart. Well, she left her job at Walmart, but she's not being silenced. And I think it inspires the kind of funding that now they've raised $22 million for the Women's Legal Fund for women who don't have money, for women in low-pay jobs, not Hollywood or the tech sector or other high-paid sectors, and that's most women. Let's face it, 3% of American women make either $150,000 a year or more. So we're talking about the overwhelming mass of women now have a voice. And I think that's because, partly it's because women now are in the workplace and women are not totally dependent on marriage and giving your sexuality to one man as a way of surviving. Women can survive on their own. Women can work outside the home. They don't earn as much as men, but we can survive and we don't have to take this stuff anymore. It's enough.
Well, you know, when you say that, you know, when you say that women are now more independent, I'm almost beginning to think, you know, from several of our conversations and from a lot of the reading that I'm doing. I mean, I'm just looking. This is another conversation, but I'm looking at the shooting that happened in Texas, where this young boy was rejected by a date, and then he ends up killing this young girl. So how does that kind of play in, you know, because the politics, I feel that there's such a divide in the politics. You hear something coming out of one man or I don't hear much from the women. I hear mostly from male politicians. You hear one thing coming out, like they're going to protect us, they're going to make all these anti-abortion laws. And how is this affecting all that?
Well, I think one of the things that's happening, aside from the gun lobby, because the United States has many more gun deaths than anybody else because of the gun lobby buying our politicians, but aside from that, what's happened is that women are empowered, and men didn't have a movement, and they're not empowered. And the two markers of manhood were access, having a woman, almost like a commodity that makes you a man, in a very capitalist sense, and also having a job. Now, as men can no longer afford to support women. And as women feel empowered to say no, and as men are losing their jobs because capitalists have exported them and outsourced them to countries where people work for terrible wages, they are really disempowered. And guns are sold as a way for men to take back their manhood. That's explicit. The Bushmaster Automatic had an ad. Do you think that tofu is better than meat? Revoke your man card. Does your girlfriend or wife earn more money than you? Revoke your man card. And it goes down the list. And then at the end it says, reinstate your man card. Bushmaster automatic weapon. It's right out there.
So it sounds like on some levels, you know, when you go back to the Stormy Daniels issue, it sounds like women speaking out are becoming a threat on so many different levels, rather than, you know, I found the same thing happened when I got involved with the women's movement. All of a sudden, there was something wrong with you because you were a woman that wanted to stand up. You know, you were called all kinds of different names. It was very, very, a very interesting time. All of a sudden, I, for myself, decided I'm going to stay single for a while to see what it feels like to be on my own.
Right.
But I feel that this is the same thing that's happening, that there's this fear. And what she's doing by standing up and saying, hey, I'm not ashamed of being a porn star. You know, I'm going to speak my mind, and I don't like what happened. So how does that affect everybody?
I think it says, for those people who can celebrate women being people and not commodities to access, it's a wonderful celebration of our common humanity. I don't need to be toyed with. I don't need to be silenced. I'm not going to know my place beneath men. I'm not going to be ashamed. For men who feel threatened by women having a voice and not knowing their former place, which is to shut up and stand by your man, like Camille Cosby, you know, those people are threatened. They think, what will happen when women no longer know their place? Uppity women, like they used to feel if African Americans spoke up, and they were uppity, and they had to be put down in their place. That's what lynching was about. Threatened people who felt then they had nothing but their whiteness because they didn't have much else in their life. And now, males who feel they have nothing but their ascendancy over women, that's to their credit, that's to be proud of. And also they're angry. They feel upset that their jobs have been outsourced, that wages have been frozen since the end of the 70s, and they don't blame the capitalist powers that be that are in charge of this. German workers don't have the same outsourcing because the union stopped outsourcing. Sweden, you have to find everyone a job if you outsource their factory. And so it's more expensive to do that than it is to change what you make. And the German, a largely male union, the metal workers just won a 28-hour work week at the same pay so they could have work-life balance and spend time with their children.
28 hours?
28 hours.
Oh, my
family
God.
Family work balance.
That is
because they have a different kind of sense of manhood.
Well, do you think, you know, what you're saying is really sparking something also in me. Do you think that's why this white supremacist attitude is on the rise? I mean, is that part of the problem?
Yes, because Trump would have them believe that it isn't people like Trump who gets his Trump products, including his Make America Great Again shirts. I mean, hats made in China, and Ivanka has the shoes made in China. He wants them to think it's the people beneath them in the hierarchy, minorities, women. That's an old ploy. For the Nazis, it was the gypsies, it was women, it was Jews, it was anyone else but the big industrialists who financed Hitler because they were afraid of communism. You know, it's a typical demagogue's trick to get people to blame those beneath them and not look at who's up on top of them, depriving them. And that is what Trump has done. And because of that, hate crimes have gone up 57% since Trump's presidency.
Well, you know, you bring another interesting point out, you know, that is kind of frightening. It feels like, you know, the lies that are being told, because you're saying, what you're saying is because, like, for example, you use the example of our president sending out to China to make these hats. Mm-hmm. So there, it's outsourced. So because of the outsourcing, because of the lack of jobs and the lack of things that are happening in our country with the different programs being shut down and money being pulled back into the military. So there's no, the roads, there's no money for roads. All schools, everything is being attacked. Are you saying then that what they tend to do is blame the lesser, what they consider the lesser, like women, minorities? Is that what you're saying?
All the people who have been less powerless than they are blaming them for usurping white male power.
So how is that affecting the family then?
Well, it affects the family, really, because the family's falling apart. The things that hold families together in hard times are free child care, free medical care, free after-school programs and summer programs, food assistance, housing assistance. All of those are being cut back. And ironically, they're being cut back in a cynical, clever way by the people who claim family values. Because if you have two people working outside the home, you need other supports to keep a family going. That's why America has the biggest divorce rate of all the Western Europeans. Because it's so expensive to have children, and people can't function with these cutbacks. And so they call it family values while they actually deny all the basic supports that family needs. It's sad and hypocritical. But people are so confused and so angry at the erosion of their lives that they'll sometimes jump on a scapegoat that the president says are to blame. It's the Mexicans or whatever.
It's really sad when you think about it. You know, one of the things I've studied for a long time is the Holocaust itself. And what you're saying and what you're talking about was exactly what was going on in Nazi Germany at the time, because after World War One, what happened to them, and then all of a sudden the cutbacks and the different things that happened, all of a sudden someone like Hitler comes along and boom, the whole country changes. It's interesting. And the family changes. The family changes so dramatically.
It does indeed. And what Hitler did is what the right wing in this country wants to do. Under Hitler, women had to work often up to 60 hours a day. But it wasn't considered their basic mission, which was to have children, so they could be paid a lot less. And so they were paid less. And they were under so much pressure that even though he forbid birth control because he wanted more soldiers, their birth rate went down because women were so exhausted. And the right wing would have women in the workplace because they can't support their families otherwise, and yet not give any maternity leave, paternity leave, family leave, paid family vacation. All these other nations that are wealthy nations that have fewer divorces have those supports, and those states that are red states have more porn and more divorces than the blue states because the pressures are so huge, even though they tout family values in a very cynical way.
Well, it's also interesting, too. Another point that all of a sudden you start me thinking on is the way right now the anti-abortion movement, no birth control pills. I mean, it seems to me that they're trying to push women to go back to the home and to start bearing more and more children. And yet, how can you afford it when two people in the family have to work?
That's right. The fertility rate is the lowest it's been since 1978, the depths of the last big recession. Because people can't afford children. It costs as much as community college tuition to have daycare for a child. Mm-hmm. And they can't. And, you know, and if you leave your child alone, which you shouldn't, it's dangerous, you can be arrested. But, you know, even alone while you go on a job interview, that there is such pressure that even with all their talk, the fertility rate is the lowest it's been since 1978, because people can't afford to have children. And at the same time, they take away birth control and they want to take away abortion, but they won't give the kind of salaries that support families. The only people who are having more children are the top 1%, because they can afford other women to take care of those children, and daycares and private schools and summer camps and lessons and dinners out and all the rest.
Well, you know, Harriet, this has been a very, very interesting conversation, and I really welcome your knowledge. It's so amazing. Why, before we're coming to the end of our segment, real quickly, can you give one solution?
Yes. We need to change our nation the way Bernie Sanders suggested. We need to have maternity leaves, paternity leaves, education for little boys as well as girls on the full potential for both emotionally and intellectually. We need after-school programs. We need summer programs. We need quality child care. We need all the things that our Swedish, German, and French counterparts provide. We need that.
Well, would you agree with?
Would you agree? Abortion.
Would you agree with this one thing? We're not going to get them until we end all these wars.
I totally agree with that. We're not going to get them until we end the kind of policies in power that we have of perpetual war for $1 trillion a year and privation for everything else, as well as giving tax cuts to the top by denying everyone else.
Well, Dr. Harriet Fraud, as usual, this has been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, for the support that you provide. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to remind our listeners that Dr. Harriet Fraud is a regular guest on the program Economic Update that also plays on KBBF the first Tuesday of the month. That's 89.1 FM from 11 to 12 p.m. Any last words, Harriet?
No, but there's just one. We need regime change here.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening, and I will look forward to being with you the next time. Yeah.